This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Shakespeare wrote, "A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." So what would something nicknamed a corpse flower smell like? Meat, apparently, gone bad. Or more pointedly, a rotting corpse. The Amorphophallus titanum, we'll see if I pronounce that right, it's also known as the Titan arum, is a plant species native to western Indonesia. There are apparently only about 100 recorded instances of the corpse flower in the entire world. One of them is right here in Illinois at the Nicholas Conservatory and Gardens in Rockford. It typically only blooms once every few years, and that just happened again over the weekend. The conservatory held extended hours for people to see and smell the flower. To talk more about this, we're joined now by Dan Irwin, Facilities Manager and Curator at the Nicholas Conservatory and Gardens. Dan, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
Listeners, you're invited to join our conversation as well. 800-222-9455. Have you smelled the corpse flower in Rockford or anywhere else? Please share your impressions with us. 800-222-9455 is the number. So, Dan, let's start. For those of us who are outside of Rockford, apparently too late to see this thing now, can you walk us through what the experience would have been like to visit? When do you first encounter the smell?
The smell becomes the strongest the night that the inflorescence opens up. And this peak time is around midnight.
But I mean, is it outside the building or do you have to get inside to actually first? Like when does it hit you in the face, so to speak?
We keep it inside the conservatory. When the smell is at its peak, you open the front doors and it smells like dirty diapers.
Oh, wow. Does anyone ever get sick from that, I wonder?
I'm not aware of anybody getting sick. There's been a lot of scrunched up faces and a few people have walked away pretty quickly.
All right. So for people who might be unfamiliar with the corpse flower, where does it get its name from? Can you tell us a little bit of backstory about this plant?
It literally gets its name from the smell it gives off when it's blooming. It blooms for about 24 hours to 36 hours, and it heats up to close to 100 degrees, and it smells like rotten meat, dead fish, and nothing good.
The plant itself heats up, or do you have to heat the room to get it to bloom? Can you explain that?
The plant itself heats up during blooming to help throw that smell up and out over a bigger area real quick. It wants to do its thing real quickly.
Wow, that's interesting. Is that common that plants sort of have their own sort of body temperature, so to speak? It's not something I'm familiar with.
It's rather unique to this species.
Okay. What is the evolutionary purpose of this stink? What do we know about why the plant behaves this way?
It's all about mimicking dead animals, something that flies, carrion beetles would want to fly in and lay their eggs in because the smell is so terrible. So
and
the
what
color,
is it?
The smell, the heat, all of it kind of mimics a dying animal.
And so what is the benefit to the plant of that, though, right? Does that help it propagate? Yeah, go ahead.
So it tricks them into pollinating it. Instead of using butterflies and birds like most pleasant-smelling plants would do, it's relying on night species of flies and carrion beetles and even sweat bees.
Interesting. So I'm reminded of that that expression, you can attract more flies with honey than with, we'll just say something else on the radio, but maybe that's not accurate. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to attract a lot more with a corpse flower, that's for sure.
All right. So I understand once this thing blooms, it also produces a fruit. Can you talk about that?
If we have to pollinate them by hand, because we don't have enough blooming in our area at the same time, they have to cross-pollinate, so we pollinate them by hand, and if successful, they produce a small fruit about the size of a cherry tomato.
And is that, what happens with that fruit? Is it something, I mean, could you eat that, conceivably, or is that...
Birds could, people, not so much.
Okay. And then do you repot that and hope to get another corpse flower, you know, decades down the line, or how does that work?
Public gardens are real good about sharing those seeds with other gardens. So if successful, we would plant some of the seeds ourselves and we would share some with other gardens.
Okay. And so I'm sort of hinted there. I understand corpse flowers only apparently bloom every, what is it, 7 to 20 years? I think one of our producers read yours bloom first in 2018, again this past weekend. How do you know? What are the signs? Is it something you have a sort of a calendar, like a lunar calendar, like an astronomer would do, or do you have to carefully monitor it, take the temperature, do that sort of thing?
There's really no schedule to it. It's all on the plant schedule when it's stored up enough energy to bloom again. It takes a lot out of a plant to put a flower, an inflorescence together that's that size. But yeah. We just have to look for the cues when it's emerging from the ground to see if it's going to be a leaf or if it's going to be a flower.
Oh, so you might have like sort of a false bloom or something. I guess that's not the right term for it, but sort of a false alarm, right? Like you might look down and see something coming up and you have to, how do you know what it's going to be?
They're real close in appearance until it gets to be about 18, 24 inches tall. Then you can start telling the difference between the leaf or the flower. It only does one at a time.
Okay. So I understand the last time it bloomed, the Nicholas Conservatory held a naming contest for this plant and landed on the name Grimace. Can you talk about that?
The name Grimace came for two reasons. One is the facial expression that people make when they smell it. And the other is because of the purple color of the spadix or the center column.
Okay. And I wonder, is that something common the conservatory does for its big flowers, or is Grimace unique among the plants there?
That's pretty common with corpse flowers that you name them after they bloom the first time. We typically don't name our plants.
Okay. Is the blooming of something like the corpse flower, is this something you look forward to every few years, or is there a bit of dread mixed in as well?
No, I think there's a lot of excitement from staff and from the whole community.
What does it look like? You mentioned the purple, was it stamen? I'm going to get my terms wrong. I'm thinking back to my high school biology here. What is this plant? Maybe we can give people a sense of, I mean, this is a pretty large flower, right?
It's 6 to 10 feet tall, the flower, the inflorescence, because it's actually made up of several flowers.
Oh, interesting.
And when it opens up, it's this deep maroon skirt, kind of in a reverse pattern, and then a center towering structure, which is called the spadix, which is purple on ours. Most of them are green, whitish, and yellow.
Oh, so yours is a unique color. Do you have a sense of why that is?
It's just the genetic diversity of it. They vary in colors, and ours happens to be one of the rare purple ones.
Interesting. All right, listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking about the corpse flower. That's the nickname for Titan arum, or Amorphophallus titanum, if I'm saying that correctly, which is a plant. It's native to Western Indonesia. There are very few of them around the world. One is right here in Illinois at the Nicholas Conservatory and Gardens in Rockford. It bloomed this past weekend. There were extended hours for people to see and smell the flower. To talk about it, we're speaking with Dan Irwin, Facilities Manager and Curator at the Nicholas Conservatory and Gardens. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. You can also always tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So how popular was this? Were people flooding in to see and smell this thing? I understand, as I mentioned, there were extended hours.
We had extended hours for 5 days. We had people coming in pretty steadily to have their picture taken with Grimace and to stand next to him and experience the smell firsthand.
So, I had this thought as we were talking about preparing this segment. We're at this point with COVID-19 in this country where, some people still are supposed to be wearing masks if you're not vaccinated. And we've had a hard time with that. I wonder, were people wearing voluntarily bringing masks to try and avoid the smell here or mitigate the smell at all? What were you seeing with that?
Probably about 50% of our guests did have masks on. Now, I don't know if it was to reduce the smell or if it was just being health conscious.
Yeah. What are, this is maybe a good opportunity to check in. What are the rules right now? What sort of policies is the conservatory following in terms of masking and that sort of thing?
Currently, masks aren't required if you've had both of your vaccinations in 14 days since.
Okay. So how did Grimace first come to live in Rockford?
Grimace was given to us in 2011 by Huntington Gardens as a small corm. It was about the size of a baseball.
What's a corm? Is that like a seed, or what does that mean?
A corm is an underground structure similar to a bulb or a tuber. And that's where the plant stores all of its energy to produce a flower, or actually an inflorescence.
So this is a perennial, I guess you might say, to use the home gardener's term.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. And what were there, you know, I'm trying to picture, was there like, a special plane to transport it? Do you have to put it in a cooler, or is this just throw it in a plastic grocery bag and stick it in a FedEx box or something like that?
They mailed it across the country to us. They're pretty tough when they're in the corm.
Okay. And is this, can you talk about how rare it is for an arboretum or a conservatory to have a plant like this? I mentioned that there are not that many species or instances of this species around the world.
It's pretty rare just because of the number of years it takes to plant to store up enough energy to bloom. When it takes 7 to 20 for the first bloom, and it's 3 to 10 for any subsequent blooms like ours.
Yeah. Is there research value to having a plant like this, or is this more just about, you know, something interesting and to for people to see and encourage them to come visit the facility?
We're still learning a lot about the plant, and the conservatories and gardens across the country are real good about sharing pollen, sharing expertise, and sharing what they're learning about the plant.
Okay. And so how many times has Grimace in fact bloomed since it's lived in Rockford? And maybe you can just talk a little more broadly about the sort of lifespan of the plant and what we can expect, what you expect or hope to see from it in the future.
Grimace has bloomed twice, and twice for us. Last one was on 8/15/2018, and this was Grimace's second bloom.
And is there could you predict a timeline, or is that just, you know, 3 years, 7 years, 10 years? Do you have a sense of when it might happen again?
It's all up to the plant when it thinks it's stored enough energy to bloom.
Okay. And what are the next, you mentioned there are still some research questions to be answered. What sort of things do you hope, you know, that you might still learn? What else is sort of unknown about how this plant operates?
It's still, because of the unique blooming system, it takes a long time to study the plant, but we're getting there with conservatories and gardens sharing so much information.
And last question, what do you do to sort of prepare for this bloom when, the time is coming? Do you have to, you know, water it? I mean, how do you, you know, is there a checklist for things that you do to sort of help it along?
There's a lot of planning and just getting the facility ready, getting extended hours ready, getting materials ready so we can let the community know, because everybody wants to know when it's happening. We usually set up a live stream, where we set up time-lapse cameras so people could even enjoy and watch from home.
Okay. So more so just in terms of managing the facility than the actual helping the plant along itself.
The plant pretty much does it on its own. We just have to keep it warm and keep it watered. It likes a drink of water every day.
Okay. Well, it's, there you go. Very easy, I guess. Not something you can find at your Lowe's, though, that if you want to try and put one of these in your backyard. Dan Irwin is facilities manager and curator of the Nicholas Conservatory and Garden in Rockford. Dan, thanks so much for being with us today to talk about the corpse flower.
Thanks so much for having us.
And that is all the time we have for today's show. Tomorrow, some stations we're aware might be preempting us in order to carry live coverage of that House Special Investigating Committee we were talking about earlier. But we will still have a show. We'll be talking about the battle between the Great Lakes and the city of Chicago with Dan Egan, the author of a recent New York Times piece on how climate change is changing America's third largest city. He's also written a book on the life and death and life of the Great Lakes. That conversation is tomorrow. If you don't catch us live, you can always subscribe to our podcast, which is at 21stshow.org. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR One, Overcast, everywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for The 21st. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.